What is up? My name is Kevin Wu. I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, what's going on? It is Tuesday. That means I hop on a Zoom call with my clients. We're going to go over a couple topics, starting off with what's the effect of being low fat, carbs, even if the protein is on track for calorie deficits. How do you tackle one arm being significantly weaker, like 5 pounds in exercise? I'm not sure if you're like Popeyes or just doing something wrong in the bedroom, but we're going to talk about that one. When is the best time to start targeting muscle subgroups, like different parts of shoulder, more acutely? All the things, straps, hooks, or any other accessories beneficial? Machines versus free weights? What's effectiveness? What's the differences? Also, what's the difference between compounds and isolations? Mind muscle connection tips and my thought process. This is truly one that you're going to want to listen to. All right, so first one, I want to talk about the effects of, let's say, your diet's over there, your protein goal, your fat goal, carb goal over there, and you're low on the fats, you're low on the carbs, you hit protein. So protein is definitely number one that you want to make sure you hit no matter what. Now, if you're low on the fats, you're low on the fat over there, so it's not going to be the end of the world. Now, the reason why we do want to usually maintain a certain amount of the low fats or low carb, not just like, you know, strictly kind of the protein itself, is because we don't want to damage our metabolism or slow it down too fast, because, or even actually possibly lose muscle. There's a couple of things that are going to happen. Let's say you go really low fat or low carbs. If you go really low on the fats, your hormones are going to get messed up itself, because fats play a direct role in hormones. And hormones, you're talking about cortisol, testosterone, growth hormone, and all those have a big effect on muscle building and also fat loss, right? So if you're having those direct effect on those hormones in that aspect, never really go those backs, we're not able to produce those big hormones, or we're able to really effectively have optimized hormones over there, then we're going to struggle to really kind of make those body composition changes. Now, if we're low on carbs, this can play a bigger factor in your workout performance, right? Because when you work out, we're not typically burning through the fats, are typically burning through glycogen, right? So that's kind of stored carbohydrates in your body over there. And now if you don't have enough of that, then your workout performance can suffer. If anyone might suffer that is if you only bench, let's say 70 pound dumbbells, and maybe you're really low carbs that day, didn't eat any at all, and this workout sessions, the 55 pounds are even struggling, you're even struggling with that, then that's going to affect your muscle retention, right? And muscle is what gives your body that shape once again over there. So if we don't have enough carbs to kind of fuel those workouts, if we're really low on that, and our work performance can't be able to push as much weight, then in turns, your body's going to be like, hey, well, I don't really need this muscle because, you know, I have all this muscle, but I'm only lifting like, you know, 15 pounds less. So let's go burn some of this, right? So your body's very adaptive in that kind of state. Doesn't need that muscle over there because you're not lifting as much. It's going to lose that muscle, which is why a good indication of if you're keeping your muscle itself on a cut or calorie deficit is if your strength is on par as what it was when you're, let's say, bulking wise or before. But generally, for especially anybody new, you should be able to lift more during the cuts, right? Especially just starting off. That's a golden era, okay? Losing fat and building muscle. So those are some reasons why being lower fat and lower carbs can affect you on that sense. And that's why you generally do have a specific amount. I tend to really want to hit that. What's up out of the world? Number one, hands down, most important is making sure your protein intake, no matter what though. If you are eating low on protein in that case scenario and having low fats and low carbs, then that's usually what happens is you might lose the weight overall, but you're going to look overall smaller. So what that means is, let's just say you're 40% body fat, like 250 pounds, weight cut down to like 230 pounds, you might be at 40% body fat still. So you're having that same kind of look over there, where it's like, okay, I might look overall smaller, but I'm just having the same kind of fat that look, but my belly still didn't hang out, having all those rolls, nothing's really tightened up. So hopefully that makes sense over there, is why each individual macronutrient should have a role in what we can do on that kind of aspect. All right, so how do you tackle one arm being significantly weaker, like 5 pounds in exercise? I would always, let's say, go with that isolation exercise first. If you're going like an out of double bicep curls or doing single arm, I would start off with the weaker arm. So that might be like, I don't know, 25 pounds over there. and you get, let's say, 10 reps, and maybe your right arm could do 30 pounds, which I know you're just going to use that 25 pounds still, the right arm, and get to 10 reps. Because over time itself, as you do get stronger with your left, you can still match it with your right over there. So even though you might be limited by the weight you could use, you don't want that disrupting speed to get bigger and bigger and bigger on that kind of added. So those are some kind of ways on that end. Now for doing, let's say, a bilateral movements using both limbs, like say even machine chest press, you notice one side is stronger. That was my kind of case scenario when I was doing bench press when I first started working up. I just basically consciously thought about pushing more with my weaker side. So for example, my left side was weaker. So when I'm doing, like, say, bar bench press, I would constantly have to think about pushing more with my left over there. And in turns, it kind of leveled out or leveled out more, right? So it's just that conscious effort and putting more of that, like, mind-muscle connection, that effort into the left side, that really helped me out over time, build on top of that one. So those are two methods I really use to kind of really tackle that situation over there. Now, what is it best to start targeting muscle subgroups? Like, they're by shoulders. So in the shoulder, there's anterior delt, lateral delt, and rear delts. For most of the work reports are there, I do have quite, or not quite a bit, but more of the lateral delt movements over the, especially anterior. I don't usually put any specific anterior movements for most people, or unless it's like they went through a couple training blocks already, a couple training phases, then I may throw in one here and there. Because your anterior delt gets worked on a lot through any pressing motions like barbell bench press, dumbbell bench press, or pretty much like any like push-up or a lot of other movements. Now, when is it best to really start targeting those ones? Is usually when you really do care about having that aesthetic shoulder and that kind of look. I'm just more, really more going more in depth, more like a bodybuilding kind of standpoint for most of us really trying to lose that fat and get to like more of the beach bod. Like a 12-15% self, don't typically kind of target that one. But if they're like really nailing it down or really going even like, I guess, more shredded, like sub 10% or something like that, then I could start kind of adding more of those ones. Or if there is generally a muscle imbalance, because a lot of people, or some people have like imbalance from the rear delts, the other muscle groups, which is also why I pretty much target or adding almost like one rear delt exercise two throughout the program for everybody, kind of regardless. Just because that is muscle also helps the postural too as well and prevents injury. So the rear delt kind of very important in those kind of regards. And if we're injured, we generally work out, and that's going to put you in a worse spot. So we'd rather have prevention exercise, but anterior delt is not going to do any prevention. If you over just work it, your posture is going to get worse itself because you're going to be imbalanced on that shoulder. And that could be a problem, just also why I don't really program it. So muscle normalized here. Couple of phases of the training itself on that kind of aspect. I'm talking like dumbbell front raises, on that kind of aspect, cable front raises, like those exercises. But for lateral delt, it's a movement that is going to give you generally broader shoulders, give you more aesthetic shoulder over there. So you'll probably see some kind of lateral raise to it for every single program. But also, it's not a movement pattern that's going to get worked pretty much to any other exercise. So if you did pull up, it's not going to work that. If you did bicep curls, it's not going to work that. If you did legs, it's not going to work that. You get a shoulder press, it's not going to really work that. So you get a bench press, it's not going to really work that. So that's why I do have like the lateral raise specifically as a movement to really kind of target the lateral delt, part of the delt over there. So hopefully that makes sense of why kind of, if you look at your program right now, why you might see those, some of those things. All right. Are lifting straps booked for any other type of accessories beneficial? So lifting straps, I would say hands down, definitely very, very, very beneficial. I'd usually recommend them at the point where your grip strength is your limiting factor. So for example, this usually happens during rowing motions or like Romanian deadlifts or barbell Romanian deadlifts. If you get barbell Romanian deadlift, let's say your barbell Romanian deadlift 155 pounds right now, and then it keeps slipping out of your hands, well, and you know that you're stronger, well, probably you should get lifting straps because your limiting factor is not your hamstrings, which is the tendon muscle that we're trying to work versus your grip strength. We're not trying to work your grip strength over there, so it doesn't really matter. Or even going to like a rolling motion itself, like even on, let's say, for example, lat pull down. Sometimes why is that slightly just lat pull down? It's like the strength is not strongest over there. So if you could let's say lat pull down 150 pounds itself, but you keep noticing your grip just kind of slides off and you're using lifting straps and maybe lift like 180 pounds, right? So using the lifting straps, it's not
the limiting factor on the tendon muscle we're working on itself, right? So it's almost like, it's not a band-aid, it's just not putting a limiting factor on the muscle group, because lifting straps are basically going to help overcome that grip strength part. And right now, we don't share about the grip strength to that extent over there, right? All right, so in terms of accessories and stuff like that, belts can be effective too as well, especially when you get heavier, more towards specific exercises like the squats, like the Smith machine squats, arc squats, deadlifts. I personally even use it for like a bench press just to help my bracing over there. I find the breathing pattern and really getting that intra belt pressure just helps me lift more. And like Smith machine shoulder press, I use that too for a bracing pattern. But those ones can help out strength, can injure any lower back strength, that side of things. So those can help when you kind of get a little bit heavier on the weights. Generally, at least lifting like two plates for like the squat or deadlift or any kind of variation itself. That's typically when you could consider that lifting belt on that aspect. All right, so machine versus free weight effectiveness. Now, each don't have their own pros. Machines tend to be a lot safer just because you are more fixed pattern over there, which is also why a lot of retired bodybuilders just use machines, because they're trying to, or like, let's say with older bodybuilders, they're very competitive, which mostly focus on machines just because they could get a lot of stability, which is very important in output, but also stay safe, right? Because the stability part is kind of gone for the free weights, as free weights can move any which angle, which increase your chances of injury, but they also have their pros. You get pretty much different range of motions if your body is made kind of different, because each body is made something kind of different over there. There's also a lot of free wire machines. Nowadays, they could just kind of a whole bunch of settings and they could adjust to your specific body and standards, which is pretty cool, right? So the fact that machines now are pretty wild, but the benefits of the free weights clearly with them at any which angle, and you could get different effects from that. Now, machines generally typically have better constant tension curve. So what that means is even at the bottom rep, midway through rep, at the top of rep, the tension you're going to feel on the muscle is going to be very more consistent versus the free weights. Like even a dumbbell chest fly, you're going to feel it all once at the very bottom, a little bit less, like halfway through, and pretty much nothing you really can add at all on the chest when you're at the very, very top over there, right? So there's different kind of, that's just one example on that kind of end. Both have their effectivenesses and their place. And there's generally different exercises that I like to do machines with and free weights with, just depending on what we're trying to really kind of target over there and the movement patterns. Now, with that being said, a lot of like chest supported movements, like a chest support team or row, it's my favorite. Well, pretty much back movement over there. A lot of gyms don't have a chest support team or row, so you might have to just do a regular T-bar row, because the chest support T-bar row is technically a machine over there. It's a plate loading machine, so you add plates to that, load it, but you have that chest support, which is externally stabilizing itself, basically allow you to just use your back muscles more, versus like a T-bar row, you're going to have to support yourself a little bit and use a lot more momentum, swinging back up and down, using more of a lower back, and that can also take out the tension off your back muscles, but also potentially make you feel a little lower back pain if you really kind of move it up and down with your upper torso. So there's definitely pros and cons for both these. It all kind of depends on the movement you're trying to go for, but also if we're have that equipment too as well in the gym. So there are a couple of different things. Now, compounds versus isolations. So compounds are pretty much movements that work multiple muscle groups. For example, like barbell squats. So it's just squats, they're going to work your adductors, your hamstrings, your glutes, your quads. That's an isolation, might be a leg extension, right? So just working the quads over there. Now, both of those are always going to be in the program, a combination of those both, because they are very effective, right? Now, generally, if you do work out less, as in if you work out like 3 days a week, you're going to have a lot more compounds just because you're going to be working out less days in the week over there. So you want to target more muscle groups and the time amount we do have. Also, in the energy standpoint, it's going to be even more true as well, because we could have isolation exercise for every single muscle group individually, but you might be there for like, you know, like 3 hours if you're only work out 3 days a week over there to really hit each every single muscle group effectively over there, which is also why you see more compounds in like a 3-day program versus if you're in a 6-day program over there, you're probably going to see more isolations than compounds over there. So both of those have a definite place. The compounds are definitely a very staple, especially if you do have less time to work out in general, but also work out less days a week on that kind of aspect. I generally am seeing why the compound movement structured at the very beginning of the workouts. Sometimes the structure may be an isolation exercise in the beginning, just like fire up and get the mind muscle connection or the specific one muscle I want to target for that compound more. But that's different training technique. But generally, you see the compounds first and kind of leads with an isolation over there because the compounds take a lot more energy to as well because you use so many more muscle groups than the kind of leads isolation exercise. And it's also a safety standpoint because of the compound using multiple muscle groups or really try to push yourself to failure. Well, the next exercise should be isolation where less likely to injure yourself. And the name of the game was trying to stay as long in the name of the game and not injure yourself, which is also why I have that program structured that way. So that makes sense on that kind of aspect. Now, lastly is getting the mind muscle connection. This is something, honestly, that truly changed my physique and my body wonders. So this is something that I know I made a lot of views in the past for me. These are generally ones that got most of the views and also thank you messages and the one that connects lots. And there's so many exercises out there, but I made pretty much exercise for almost like all of them. So I just may have to make them again in a little different wording kind of tweak over there. So that's why I haven't been posting as much recently of these ones. It's because I feel like you're still like all the ones. All right. So basically mind muscle connection tips, breaking it down, mind muscle connection is basically feel your muscle. So if you're gonna borrow a bench press, like when I first started benching itself, I could not feel my chest for the life of me, which is also why my chest never really grew at the first place. And then wasn't until probably can say 2 or 3 years when I really, really start to feel over there. That's when I start really seeing that growth. Now, I always felt my shoulders in the bench press. And it was, I guess, maybe that's why I got bigger shoulders too as well. But thing is, we want to be targeting specific muscle groups for specific exercise. So on the bottom bench press, we won't be targeting the shoulders specifically. We want to target the chest. If I was trying to target the shoulders, I would do a Smith machine shoulder press or an incline dumbbell press. So how do we basically connect with that muscle and that kind of aspect? Well, there's a couple different ways. One with cues. So usually my videos have a lot of different cues that I use, which kind of help me out. Like for example, for chest, I always think about driving my bicep into the side of my chest. That person works for me. Another cue that kind of helped out before was trying to touch my elbows together. So usually different cues kind of help with different people, right? So if I say one cue to Craig or say one cue Shane, you guys might kind of resonate with different cues and kind of feel yourselves better. Now, with that being said too as well, if let's just say for bicep curl, right? It's kind of just curling up and down just like this. You can feel your bicep, but if I told you to think about driving your wand into your bicep over there, you might feel a lot more in that kind of aspect. So those are small little cues that can help out. Now, another thing I do think about too as well, and this is more kind of reset deadline, just one, is taking it to another level, right? So literally what I've been thinking about every single rep I do now to use more expression as approach, heavier and heavier weights and just max out a lot of machines, is really trying to dial this in even more so I'm not limited by the amount of weight. I actually dial back to it too as well. We get more out of it. Is every single centimeter, every single inch of the movement, I'm thinking about just trying to move that weight with that muscle. So for example, in the row, I'm consciously thinking about just using my back the whole way through. Literally every single second, I'm really slowing it down instead of before, it's just yank the weight before. Right, so what you're now is, well, I'm also using cues before too as well, there's a power level sweat. So I'd say level one, the most kind of doing in the gym, you're gonna see is just like moving weight, right? So for example, bicep curl, just curling up and down, bench pressing it, just getting up and down off your chest. So I'm gonna do a level one. Now, level two might be slowing down the movement. So one way of slowing down the movement is with the bench press, is we're coming down a little bit slower, and then coming up just a little bit slower there. Now, level three might be using a cue, like I mentioned over there. When I bar bench press, I'm thinking about bending the bar so I can feel it more in my chest. But then when I'm pressing up, I think I'm driving my bicep into the side of my chest. So that's level three over there, I'm going to call it, of this mind muscle connection. Now, level four is kind of using a mixture of level two and three, but also adding this fourth factor. So as I'm slowing down movement, thinking about my keys breaking the bar itself, I'm thinking about literally every single inch of the whole movement. I'm consciously connecting my chest. I'm always thinking about my chest. And I'm thinking if I feel it, right? Because I know I can feel it, especially after working for so long. And I know if I'm feeling it somewhere else because I work for so long now. So it's levels to this. But meditation does kind of help. If you've ever done meditation before, you might notice it's like they're telling you, it's like, oh, focus on the sounds around you, or focus on the smells in the room. So same kind of concept you've ever done meditation before, that kind of aspect. But now we're bringing it internally to that specific muscle we're trying to work. So I feel like meditation does kind of help with this. And just connecting with that. So my level three right now is literally every single second or every single centimeter of the rep over there, I'm thinking about slowing it down and feeling my chest. The second I stop, kind of feeling my chest over there or something like that, I'm going to tweak it and really try to reconnect my mind. Now I was pushing up to his wall. I'm literally just trying to use my chest, thinking about pushing my chest while using those cues over there. Now I have to slow down the movements significantly more just to really get that every single centimeter, every single inch of the rep connecting with my chest. Sometimes if I get too fast over there, that I lose that connection and I feel a little bit my shoulders. So these levels is my muscle connection, but as you kind of keep doing it to this wall, you're probably going to get better my muscle connection with that exercise, but you have to be intentional with it to this wall, right? So it's like meditation over there. You have to be intentional to actually get some effects. You can't just sit in a room for 10 minutes and call it meditation. You actually have to go to your mind over there, think about these things. And when other things, let's say work or something in life kind of pops in your head, you have to almost let go of that and focus back in. So it's the same thing with the mind muscle connection. I guarantee you, once you start doing a mind muscle connection as well and really embrace that, you will see more changes, right? And that's a big part of that topic I brought up today. It wasn't in what you guys asked on the weekly second one over here. This is something I wanted to address because I feel like it's very important and it's something that isn't really talked about yet. All right, so I'm going to go stop at this.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in the 20s trying to lose weight and get abs for the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, and DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWuWu_. That is KevinWuWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.